You know, last week we started a new series entitled Masterpiece, A Work in Progress. In other words, we want to make sure that you realize that you are valuable to God and He didn't make any junk. In that, Pastor John reminded us of four things. Salvation is a process. We are all a work in process. Number two, our identity is not in ourselves. Our identity is in Christ. Number three, there's some things that will hinder our progress. And number four, God is fully committed to our transformation. God knows where we are. He knows where He wants to take us. He doesn't grow weary. He's in there with us. Today is part two, and it's something that many times we tend to forget. And it's simply, we are created to do good works. Remember from last week, Paul wrote this to the church of Ephesus. And it's equally important for the church at North Star. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things He planned for us long ago. Now, the Amplified Version defines God's grace in this verse as God's remarkable compassion and favor. And then He defines us, the Amplified Version defines us as God's own masterwork, a work of art. So I want you to listen to that verse this way. God saved you by His remarkable compassion and favor when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's own masterwork. We are God's own work of art. And He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that He has planned for us long ago. Hear this loud and clear, this one point today. We are not saved by what we do. We are saved to do good. We're saved to do good. We are not saved by what we do. We all have this mindset that we want to earn our way places. But that's not why we were saved. We cannot earn that part of it. We are here to do good. Today's message is very practical, and we're going to talk about the top five things that will hinder us from accomplishing the whole reason that we've been saved. You see, I have this fundamental belief that most people want to do good. Doesn't mean they do good. I think they want to do good. I think it's in us, in our identity in Christ, we were created in the image of God, and I believe there's a desire for us to want to do good. So what keeps us from doing the good that God created us to do? Number one, maybe it won't surprise you, maybe it will. The enemy, our enemy. Exactly. Now our enemy is one who feels hatred for. An enemy is one who feels hatred for, fosters harmful designs against, or engages in antagonistic activities against one another. It's an adversary, an opponent. And this describes the devil for sure. Think about it this way. Since we've been made in the image of God, on purpose by God, and only for God's purpose, it shouldn't surprise us that there might be one that would work very hard to cause us to fail. The words of Jesus in John 10:10, the thief, the devil, the enemy, the old slew foot, comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that they may, that they, meaning us, that we may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Most of you know that scripture. Listen to Peter's warning in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, well-balanced, self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. That enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Other versions say, stay alert, watch out, keep a cool head, keep awake. You see, that enemy of ours is the number one thing that can keep us from doing the good that we've been created to do. The moment we ignore the fact that we have an enemy, plays right into his hands, and we are set up to fail. The moment we give the enemy more power to influence and control us than we give God is the very moment we stop doing what we've been created to do. So the number one thing that can keep us from doing the good that we've been created to do is our enemy. And remember the verse I just read before as we were winding down that song. The same spirit that's in us, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. So we, although the enemy is a force to be reckoned with, it is no force compared to the force that God is. We can build the enemy up so big that everything around us begins to cause us to be frightened. But then we'll remember that God will do what he says he will do. That God is bigger. That God is stronger. That God makes the enemy run. In fact, not really a theological comparison, but if you think about a Chihuahua and you think about a Great Dane, that's just a small visual. The enemy is just a little Chihuahua nipping at the ears. If you got a Chihuahua, I'm not bashing them, but they're little and they think they're all that, but they're not. You know, they'll bite the back of your heels so often. But the enemy is not stronger than God. So we have to remember that although the enemy can cause us to not do good, he's not bigger than God. So that's number one. Number two, our selfishness. Selfishness is the quality or state of caring only for oneself or one's own interest. Selfishness goes totally against the gospel of Jesus Christ. Selfishness has ruined many a good thing. Marriages, friendships, jobs, other relationships, financial security, just to name a few. Paul instructs the church in 1 Corinthians 10:24, don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. Now, when we read some of these scriptures, you are going to be tempted to say, well, what about me? God's got you. God's got us. We don't have to worry about us. 2 Corinthians 5:15, for he died for us all, so that all those who live would no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for their sake. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit through factual motives of strife, but with an attitude of humility, neither being arrogant or self-righteous, and regard others as more important than yourselves. Then we have a verse in James 3:16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder, there is unrest, there is rebellion, and every evil thing and morally degrading practice. Sometimes we see something that we really want, but it's not good for us. I heard a pastor one time tell a story about this one monkey. If you were here 35 years ago, you might remember this story. It's a monkey, and he sees this banana, and it's in a jar. And there was only room for his hand to go in, so he reached in because he wanted that banana for himself. He grabbed the banana, but it would not come out. He wanted that banana for himself, but it would not come out. In order to get his hand out, he had to let go of the banana. Exactly. Susan and I say that phrase all the time. Let go of that banana. That's not going to be good for you. You are not going to do well with your hand stuck in the jar. And all he could see was, I want that banana for myself. Now, if he was a smart one, he would have just knocked the jar off the counter and it broke, and then he could got it. But he wanted it then, and he reached in. And how many times have we been so selfish that we have grasped the thing that we think we need or want, but there's no way to apply it to our life. There's no way to get it out and for it to be useful in us. So the number two thing that can keep us from doing the good that we've been created to do is our selfishness. See, the enemy wants us to think that it's all about us. You just got to be happy. It's all about what you want. And that is so contrary to the gospel. And that will keep you from doing good. Because you want the good done to you. You are spending your life looking for where someone can do good for you. When as a believer, a follower of Jesus, it should be exactly opposite. What can I do that would be good for someone else? Now the third thing is our priorities. Priorities are something that's given special attention. Our first concerns. Last month we talked several weeks about this one scripture, Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We know that in our head. But yet we are striving so often and putting the wrong things in first place. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And all the way toward the first of the book, Exodus 20:3, you must not have any other God but me. Psalm 90:12, teach us, O God, to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in this wisdom. Teach us the right priorities. So what are your priorities? You know, yesterday or day before yesterday, we were in Marshall's. That's one of my favorite stores. $8 and $9 shirts and things like that. And anyway, we're in there, and Susan bought a couple of things, and she was in line, and I got tired of waiting in line, so I just went on to the end and kind of waiting by the door, and I saw Susan and the girl at the counter looking at me. I didn't think anything about it. I saw a little chuckle, and then so when we got ready to go, Susan said, you never guess what that lady said to me. I said, what? She said, is that your husband over there? And I know that Susan rolled her eyes thinking I was doing something stupid over there. I know she rolled her eyes, but she says, that's one good-looking white man. Now, why am I telling you that story? Is that if I would have taken that to heart, now I know the girl had vision problems. I know she was probably pretty close to glaucoma, and she wasn't seeing clearly. But if I were to take that and let it be a priority the rest of the day, Susan would not have been able to stand me. I would have been looking in every mirror. You know, that girl's right. I'm one good-looking white man. But then you think about, if that's my priority, then everything else is going to get out of whack. If I think I'm all that, or the stuff that I want is all that, then everything's out of order. Everything's out of order. So the number three thing that can keep us from doing the good that we've been created to do is our priorities. When we make the wrong thing number one, everything else suffers. The fourth thing that can keep us from doing the good we've been created for is our focus. Now, a focus is a central point, a purpose, an activity or theme. It's the main thing. It actually is where we are headed. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, well, so we don't look at the troubles we see now. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. In other words, Paul is telling us, you've got to check your priority, your focus. What are you focusing on? Philippians 3:14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Colossians 3:2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. The other day, I realized as we're driving along that my focus was wrong. I was looking at something. I was probably looking at somebody's car off to the side or something like that that gets my attention a lot. And I moved my focus off the traffic light. And as I'm going through the intersection, Susan is just gasping because it was more than yellow. It had turned red. Now, I didn't mean to do that. Now, and that was going to be my defense if I pulled. I might have said my wife was trying to get my attention, and I moved my focus over there. But I probably wasn't going to say I was looking at that hot rod over there on the side there. But the moment you move your focus, you can get in trouble. You can get in trouble. In fact, I think Reader's Digest did an article years ago about this. It's a driving tip. Wherever you are focused is where you're going to drive. You can be driving down the road, minding your own business, and you start focusing on the car that's coming in the other lane toward you, and you will find yourself drifting. You're not wanting to do that. You know that that's dangerous, but wherever you focus is where you're going to steer the ship. See, our focus is where we are headed. So the fourth thing that can keep us from doing the good that we've been created to do is our focus. The fifth thing that can keep us from doing the good that we've been created to do is stubbornness. I know probably none of you struggle with that. But stubbornness, just in case you need to know what it is the action of being unreasonably obstinate, obstinately unmoving, fixed, or set in purpose or opinion. Now, Acts chapter 7, verse 51 says this, "You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit?" That's what your ancestor did, and so do you. Have your parents ever called you stubborn before? I actually, full disclosure, called my mother stubborn the other day. I said, "Mom, you realize that you are stubborn." "Me? No." She didn't relate. But I pointed out a few things that might show her that. But we all have this tendency to be stubborn, to stand strong where we are. I'm not going to lose any ground. Hebrews 3, starting in verse 7, says, This is why the Holy Spirit says today, when you hear this His voice, don't harden your heart as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. Your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I was angry with them. And I said, their hearts were always turned away from me, but they refused to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath that they will never enter my place of rest. Be careful then, the writer tells us. Dear brothers and sisters, make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. Deuteronomy 10:16 says, therefore, change your hearts and stop being stubborn. And in Psalms 32:9, do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. Are you stubborn? Yesterday, our little King Charles Spaniel came bouncing into the house the other day. And I've talked about his stubbornness before and all that stuff, but it was a new level of stubbornness yesterday. He had some kind of animal's carcass in his mouth. He was proud of it, too. He was slinging it around. We put in this doggy door, so he came in, and I went, "Oh, goodness gracious, get out of here." So I ran him out, and I'm trying on the back porch to get it out of his mouth without having to touch the carcass. I got a bag. I'm trying to pull it out of his mouth. Well, he worked around me, and Susan was standing on the inside a little bit squeamish, and she was blocking. She thought she was blocking the doggy door, but he scooted right on in anyway, and he went straight to his crate. He was so proud of that carcass. But we knew that leaving him with that carcass, he would digest it, and we'd be left with the mess. So I went into the crate, full bore. I went in, and he backed into the corner. He wasn't going to let it go, and I finally got it out of his mouth and threw it away. He's so stubborn. So the fifth thing that can keep us from doing the good that we've been created to do. And I want you to understand that you have been created to do good. God loves you, but He created you to do good. Stubbornness will be a big block. So if you want to do the good that God has created you to do as you live your life for Him, you've got to watch out for any stumbling block, not just these five. These are just the top five, I think. Watch out for the enemy. He's crafty. Watch out for selfishness. Our default setting is being selfish many times. Watch out for your priorities, what you place as most important in your life. Watch out what you're focusing on. What you focus on will get your attention. And if you happen to be driving, you will drive your car in that direction. Watch out for your stubbornness. Because many of us are like a mule. That we are just going to do our thing. No matter how many times you try to get us to do it, we're just going to do our thing. I want you to remember Paul's reminder to each of us in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take any credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. For we're God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things that He planned so long ago. See, He has got a list of things that He created you for. At the very conception, before conception, God knew you by name, and has these things that He wants you to do good. God anointed, in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit with great power. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. See, as a Christ follower, we are to emulate Jesus as we live our life. He is our pattern. If Jesus felt it was a priority to go about doing good, why in the world would we not? So what if we spend our lives here on this earth by going around doing good? Sadly, many times the world sees Christians as those that go around judging others or going around holier than thou or going around thinking that we're better than others, going around as though we have arrived, going around as at those who have not required forgiveness for us, have not needed forgiveness. Everybody else needs forgiveness. Maybe we're known to go around selectively loving people. Or selectively dispensing grace, when our mandate all along is to do good. God has created each one of us to do good. Now you say, what's different than the world doing good? Well, it's a whole lot different because of what's driving it. We're driving, the driving force before, of us doing good is because the Master wants it. The Master is giving us influence. He's given us talents. He's given us opportunities. And so often, we let a stumbling block come in that derails it. And all of a sudden, we're not doing good. The other day, I was on the phone with tech support. How many of you love being on the phone with tech support? I have to pray up before I get on tech support. Anyway, we've been having an internet problem all week or for a couple days. It seemed like it had been a year, but it was only a day or two. And I finally had time I could devote to it, and I got a guy on the phone, and gosh, this is going to sound bad, but he had an accent, and I couldn't hardly understand him, okay? And I actually got ugly to him on the phone. Susan looked in horror as I was on the speakerphone. I said, "Sir, I can't understand anything you're saying." Now, those words in itself aren't necessarily bad, but I was just saying, "Listen, speak so I can understand you. I can't get this thing done." But the thing has haunted me, and you know, I'll never be able to get him again. He's probably over there in Sri Lanka somewhere, and I'll never be able to get that guy again. But it bothered me all week that I let that thing mess me up. And I'd had quite a day. About 10 things had not gone well that day. I came home and I did Susan a favor. I didn't talk to her a whole lot because I'm afraid I'd bite her head off, and she wasn't feeling good. But she understood that something hadn't gone well, and I ended up telling her some of the things, and I just let this time on the phone just get out of hand. And I didn't say any bad words or anything, and that's the extent of what I did, but I knew what drove that. I knew that I just was fed up. And then I think about how God wants us. He's created us. It's not that He just wants us to do good. He has created us to do good. And that means be nice. Don't leave that whoever on the phone with anything that could cause them to stumble. What if we just change our attitude a bit? What if we just think about the mandate we have to do good? Do good powered by the Holy Spirit. Do good because the God, the creator of the universe, has created us to do this. He has actually commissioned us by the very creation itself to go and do good works. He doesn't want you doing it on your own strength. And listen, for me to have a sane conversation with that tech support guy, it would have been had to get better. It had to get bigger than me. I would have had to have divine intervention to have the patience that was going to be required to walk through that. The short end of that story is, after about an hour on the phone, he said, "Oh, we're going to have to send somebody there. I can't help you." By then, I'd already been convicted. I didn't say anything worse. But think about it. You spend time getting all riled up, and then there's no solution at the end. And he said, "Well, we can't get there until into the next week." Well, I decided to ask for a supervisor. Well, supervisor's not going to tell you anything. I don't. And I said, "Oh, I still want to talk to him." And the supervisor said, "We'll have someone there the next day." Or actually 2 days from then. And then they called me back and says he can be there at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. So I cleaned my heart up in that process. Did I deserve to have a fast fix to our problem? No, because my attitude was bad. But the moment God puts His finger on something, He wants you to change. And you start dealing with God right then. If you're smart, you will start dealing with God right then. You can hold on to that banana if you want to, but it's not going to end well for you. But I quickened immediately, and I actually told him, "I can't believe I lost my cool with that guy on tech. I shouldn't have said that. That was a pretty racial thing for me to say. I was just so frustrated. I couldn't understand him and all that." But the Lord softened my heart. And when He softens you, behaviors can change. And all of a sudden, you remember why you've been created all along. You haven't been created to win. You have been created to do good. You haven't been created to be wealthy. You've been created to do good. You haven't been created to gather all this stuff. That is not why you're here. That's not why I'm here. And I like stuff too. No, we've been created to do good. And when we allow that shift to come in us, everything changes. When we start identifying the stumbling blocks, and they may not be one of these five, I guarantee you the number one is in there. And every believer, the enemy is going to try to trip you up. But when you start understanding and have it in the forefront of your mind, "Wait a minute, I'm getting up this morning and I've been created to do good," that can change everything about your day. It can change when someone gets on your nerves. "Wait a minute, I'm here, I'm only created to do good. I'm not created to win an argument. I'm not created to stand my ground. I'm not created for any of those things." And there's so many different stumbling blocks. I just named five. Maybe they're the top five. I don't know. They are in my life. And I don't want to be known for the stumbling blocks. I don't want someone to get a bad idea who God is by seeing how I would live my life if I'm not devoted to Him. If we, the church, paid attention to the calling, the whole reason we've been created is to go about doing good, I think we'd see a change in how people view God. See, we are a physical manifestation of Jesus in many ways. He has left us here to do this work. And sometimes we don't represent Him well. I sure didn't on the tech support line. And I've already asked God to forgive me several times, and He did it. He removes my sin from me as far as the east is from the west and remembers it no more. In fact, He was shocked to hear that I did that because He'd already forgotten it. But there are stumbling blocks that the enemy likes to throw in your way so it can mess you up. So it makes you think that this life is about you. It is not about you. It is about what God can do through you. It is about advancing the kingdom of God. It's about living our life to bringing glory to Him. And if we do that, if we live our life bringing glory to Him, surely you will point people to Jesus. We'll shine the light of Jesus, and we will do what He created us to do. Let's pray together.